cases that may involve wrongful convictions have recently gotten a lot of attention. The Adnan Syed case that was the subject of the first season of the podcast Serial is one example, as is the Wisconsin case of Stephen Avery, which was documented in the Netflix series Making a Murderer.
But there are a lot of possible cases of wrongful conviction that never get public attention or legal support, and many of the people who are incarcerated for crimes that they may not have committed have no resources to contest their sentence.
The Wisconsin Innocence Project has been able to help many wrongfully convicted inmates, and a new program is aimed specifically at helping Latino men and women get their cases retried. Christina Bourdais joins us in the studio now. She's director of the Latino Exoneration Initiative. Christina, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me here.
For people who aren't familiar with it, can you explain the mission and the work of the Innocence Project?
Well, the Wisconsin Innocence Project is a clinical program in the University of Wisconsin Law School in Madison. We work with students who are second year, students going between first and second year on cases. Our mission, obviously, is to exonerate people who are innocent, but it's also to teach law students how to work on these cases, to teach them the causes of wrongful convictions, and then to try to offer remedies for the criminal justice system to address the causes of wrongful conviction, prevent these from happening.
And what are some of those most common factors involved in wrongful convictions?
Well, there's a number of factors. The National Registry of Exonerations, which is a registry that the University of Michigan keeps of all people who are exonerated, kind of tracks those factors by cases. But the basic five factors that they've identified are false confessions is one big factor, mistaken eyewitness identification, flawed forensic science, also police or official misconduct is another one, and then perjury by informants or witnesses.
So what do we know about the racial and gender demographics of people who have been found to be wrongfully convicted? Are there particular groups that are overrepresented for their percentage in the population?
Well, there are groups that are underrepresented, which is actually the reason for Latino Exoneration Initiative. When you look at those numbers in the National Registry of Exonerations, you'll see that about 11% of exonerees are Hispanic. And yet, the number of Hispanics in the prison population, it's hard to tell exactly because actually a lot of times Hispanics are classified as Caucasian in the prison population. But from the numbers that are available, it seems like 21% of the prison population is Latino. So it's about half of what you would expect among exonerees. Whereas when you look at the number of African Americans and Caucasians, it's much more equivalent to their numbers. So that hovers somewhere around the 40 percentile for both of them. So it was on the basis of that that we started the Latino Exoneration Initiative. We applied to the Department of Justice for a grant explaining that we thought there was this disparity in the numbers, that we thought it was a function of lack of outreach and lack of expertise on working on these cases. And we were awarded a grant for a two-year program to address this problem and to try to reach out specifically to Latino communities.
And is that disparity between the number of Latinos who are incarcerated and the number that are exonerated, is that just in Wisconsin or is that a national trend?
That's national trend. Those are numbers of the National Registry of Exoneration that keeps numbers for all of the country. So there's about 1,800 people that have been exonerated thus far, a little bit more.
We're talking with Christina Bourdais. She's director of the Latino Exoneration Initiative, a new program of the Wisconsin Innocence Project. We know that African Americans are incarcerated at disproportionately high rates in Wisconsin. Is that also true for Latinos?
We believe so from the numbers that we can see. Like I said, it's hard to track, and we've found that looking right now at the Department of Corrections, a lot of the people that we know are Latino, they're classified as Caucasian. So it's hard to actually get hard numbers and get that answer. But we believe that is part of the issue.
So you talked about the five issues or conditions that are often in place or the cause of wrongful convictions in general. Are there particular issues that might lead to Latinos and Latinas being wrongfully convicted at higher rates?
I'm glad you asked that question because that's actually part of the reason for our initiative. We think that it's not only a problem of lack of outreach to this community, but also perhaps a lack of recognition of the particular issues that might arise in these cases. So obviously there are more likely to be problems with interpretation, for example, but often they're subtle problems of interpretation. It's not so much that a defendant doesn't get an interpreter, but that the interpreter might not be qualified. There, in many places, there isn't a requirement that the interpreter be certified. And then there's also questions about what it means for an interpreter to be certified, whether they are really meeting a high standard. Also, we've seen in many of our cases that our clients do speak English, and because they speak English, they try to get by in English, and yet they're not as articulate, and they have a harder time sort of expressing themselves and telling the whole story when they're speaking English. And then we've seen our clients also penalized because they asked for an interpreter. So we have one case, for example, where the judge said that our client was manipulating the system by asking for an interpreter, because he could tell that the client clearly spoke English. And obviously that client did understand some English, and he was trying to understand and answer the questions as much as he could, but he was not as comfortable, and that's why he wanted an interpreter. I've interviewed jurors who've told me that the client, that the defendant they saw on the stand, was lying about not speaking English because they saw the person answering the question before the interpreter interpreted the whole question, which again was a lot of times people who speak some English, not a lot of non-native speakers might have spent a long time in the United States, and yet they'll ask for an interpreter because they feel more comfortable. So these are sort of subtler causes that can lead to wrongful conviction, that can lead to sort of biases creeping into the process, which are harder to catch and to see. And it's one of the things we want to do with our initiative, to be able to sort of focus on those issues and understand and have culturally competent staff. That's the other issue that comes about, really. It's more than just speaking a language that you need. It's being able to understand the cultural issues that arise in these communities.
What about the issue of immigration status? How does that play in?
Immigration status, of course, is very much another issue, and we've already seen that in a lot of the cases that we're working on. A lot of witnesses are not willing to come forth. So we have, for example, some cases where our client will say, well, so-and-so could have been an alibi. And when you talk to that person, she'll say, well, I wasn't going to come forth because I'm documented.
And so they don't want to come into contact with the system.
With the system. And because people who are undocumented, who have come forth, for example, in that particular case that I'm talking about, there were serious consequences for this one person who did come forth. They put her in deportation proceedings. So other people did not want to come forth. So the immigration status is another reason that is in addition to all the reasons that exist in all cases for wrongful convictions, but that would be something more likely to occur in cases of Latinos that could lead to wrongful convictions. So our focus is on all those additional causes that might not be as well recognized and harder to spot.
I'm sure there have been Latino men and women who have been served well by the Innocence Projects nationally. Are there any of those stories that you could share with us?
Well, our first client, the first person the Wisconsin Innocence Project exonerated, was Chris Ochoa, who is a Hispanic man from Texas, who was exonerated by DNA evidence. And there were several racist things that were said in his case and that were problematic, that, you know, were part of the causes for wrongful conviction. So his was a case where he was convinced to give a false confession, and it was a long, detailed confession, but it turned out that a lot of it was something that was fed to him by the police officers. And when DNA testing was done on the victim, it was found that he was not, you know, as he then later claimed he was innocent, he was in fact innocent, and he was exonerated. And he then ended up going to University of Wisconsin Law School, Madison, right here, and getting a law degree, and he's now a lawyer.
Wow. One of the things that you mentioned is that there's a need for culturally competent people working on these cases, understanding the cultural milieu of the people they're serving. But it occurs to me, too, that one of the barriers might be people who are from another country really not understanding the U.S. legal system and not understanding that if you say something to a police officer, that might be used, or just how important certain steps of the process are.
All my clients have difficulty understanding the criminal justice system, whether or not they're from this country. And as much as I try to explain it, it's baffling because if you do think about it, it's baffling even to people who are very well versed. So it's that much more difficult for someone who comes from a different country to understand that. And I find myself repeating and explaining things again and again. And I'm a native Spanish speaker, and I'll explain it in Spanish. But it's just baffling to understand, why does it take so many years? Why, if he's innocent, is he still there? What is it that you need to show? Why can't that be enough? All these things are really difficult to explain. So it's that much more difficult. But also, just even understanding that there is a free attorney who can assist them is something that's very hard to understand or to even, you know, believe in some ways. I'm a native Spanish speaker. I grew up in Colombia, and when I moved to the States, to know that there were pro bono lawyers was just something I could never imagine. So I know that's part of the sort of translation that we need to do.
When you do identify a potential client, someone who may have been wrongfully convicted, how long a process is it for looking into the case, getting whatever additional testing, say DNA testing, you might need, or whatever, collecting witness statements? How long a process might it be before a case comes up to be retried?
Well, unfortunately, it's a very long process right now. Right now, in general, for the Wisconsin Innocence Project, we have about 200 people on the wait list. And at this point, it's taking us about 7 years to even get to their application, to even start the process of determining whether or not there's something that can be done. And identifying whether or not there's DNA in the case that can be tested is yet another part of it. So it's hard to give an average, because it really is very case specific and it depends. But even in that beginning of the process, it's extremely long, and we have very limited resources. So unfortunately, it's only getting longer.
And as we wrap up, Christina, where can someone get more information or apply to have their case considered?
Well, there's several places. They can go to our website, the Wisconsin Innocence Project, and there's an application they can download there. They can call our project, which the number is also on the website. For inmates who are in prison, there are applications in all of the law libraries, and they can obtain those applications for free.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Christina.
Thank you so much.
Christina Bourdais is director of the Latino Exoneration Initiative. It's a new program of the Wisconsin Innocence Project that looks to specifically identify and advocate for Latino men and women who have been wrongfully convicted.